So did everyone have a good Christmas? Yeah? Good. We did too, all five or six of them. So we finally had our last one last night. Praise God. We have made it. It has been a week of celebration. We started on Wednesday and all the way through to here. Actually, we started on Tuesday, now that I think of it, really. Did you guys catch the program with the kids and the candlelight service? Weren't those kids awesome? Especially mine, muting my son who was still going when they were supposed to be done singing. But since we noticed in there that there were actually no sheep in this particular production of the play. Sorry, I wanted to steal the worship music. Hope they don't mind. Josh, I think I will bring you back at the end. So God is so good, and I decided that we'd have to bring the sheep into the year before the year ends. There we go. So before I forget, we'll just open this time in some prayer. Lord, I just thank you for today. I thank you that you want to just move in our hearts, Lord, show us more about yourself, and Lord, that you're all about encounter, that we'd encounter you this morning. And Lord, just pray that you would fill up this time, Lord, that Troy would not fill up this time, but that you would fill this time and that you would release impartation to all of us and that we grow closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So every now and then when I do actually preach, I'm asked, what is the title, as soon as I get done speaking? So I thought I could just start off with the title, and then I will not get asked the title. And so in the words of the famous young Tonto, companion, Indian friend of Kemosabe, the Lone Ranger, the title for today is Me Sheep, Him Shepherd. So if you don't know the Lone Ranger, you didn't get that, but he's an Indian and he spoke in really rough English, and I'm sure he had good English, but Me Sheep, Him Shepherd is my title. I was recently watching a clip of it, and so that's why it was fresh in my mind. So I was wondering, Andrew, if you could play that first clip for us, because the question on my mind is, you know, we have to start with a basis here, and so the question is, are we really sheep? And so I was trying and searching and scouring through hours and hours of research, and I managed to find some professional verification of the fact that we are like sheep. So, Andrew, if you could help me out.
The gentleman in the elevator now is a candid star. These folks who are entering, the man with the white shirt, the lady with the trench coat, and subsequently one other member of our staff, will face the rear. And you'll see how this man in the trench coat tries to maintain his individuality, but little by little, he looks at his watch, but he's really making an excuse for turning just a little bit more to the wall. Now we'll try it once again. Here's the candid subject. Here comes the candid camera staff, three of them at least. And this man has apparently been in groups before. Here's a fella with his hat on in the elevator. First he makes a full turn to the rear and Charlie closes the door. A moment later, we'll open the door, everybody's changed positions. Now we'll see if we can use group pressure for some good. Now, in a moment, on Charlie's signal, everybody turns forward. Notice, they take off their hats.
He is
and
not
now, do you think we could reverse the procedure? Watch.
So I think we are a little bit like sheep. We'll kind of blend with it. Kind of another pictorial, you know, picture that I spent a lot of money on. Andrew, if you could give us clip number two, just to help drive in this idea, you know, so we can just, you know, make sure we really got it here. Not this goes on for a minute and 12 seconds. Someone feels that people would actually sit and watch the entire thing. But I will spare you. But one thing you notice, what's lacking in this picture? The shepherd. That might be helpful to have a shepherd. We had shepherds in the play. We just didn't have sheep. So apparently the kids were allowed to decide what kind of animal they wanted to be. Okay, Andrew, thank you. Thank you. A minute and 12 is enough. So they got to pick what kind of animal they wanted to be, so we had a cow instead of a sheep and some different things. But I heard it was quite an upgrade because he wanted to be a bear, and so kind of the cow fit a little better in the manger scene than the bear. And one last clip. This clip is just to portray that, you know, there can be shepherds in our life, and some of them have not gone through FTC, Frontline Training Center, and received impartation on what to do once one works with a sheep. So, Andrew, if you could show the third clip. There is a poor sheep caught in the fence up on the mountainside. And a kindly shepherd comes to help out this poor, innocent, helpless sheep with his GoPro on his head. So kind, realizes the problem, realizes the need, steps in to bring freedom and release. You need a savior, and he is coming to show him the way. Pulls him to freedom. No animals were hurt in the making of this video. I want you to know. He kept on walking. That way, there was the cheers of jubilee. But I decided this is an example of a shepherd in training who has figured out, get the sheep saved, get them free, but has not learned that it is not good to just leave them on the precipice to fend for themselves. So mentoring and continuing beyond this freedom and the salvation is a key part of being a good shepherd. So I'm glad that I could bring such revelation to all of us here today. Let's close in prayer. So if you guys could do me a favor, I really need your help here. So if you could please turn to your neighbor, and I would like it if you could give me your best sheep impression to your neighbor on three. One, two, three. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has listened to someone in their day. Okay, we're done. That does bring me to my, reminds me of that verse. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. You got to pick your shepherd well, because you just followed me. So, today I want to look in John chapter 10. And I love the way God works, because one would think that we coordinate these things sometimes, but I did not coordinate that our first song today was called Shepherd. And so it's one of those things when you're stepping out to, you know, say, Lord, what do you want to speak today? What are you talking about? What is your heart as we exit 2015 and we head towards 2016? And the Lord just really put John 10 on my heart and just shepherds, and I'm echoing again. Just put that on my heart. And then Josh starts off with a song, Shepherd. And it just talks, you know, about you lift my head above the mighty waves. You're able to keep me from stumbling. And in my weakness, you are the strength that comes from within. Good shepherd of my soul, take my hand and lead me on. You make my footsteps and my path secure. So walking on water is just the beginning. Cause my faith to arise, stand at attention, for you are calling me to greater things. Oh, how I love you. With you is where I want to be. It's a good song and timely. Thank you, Josh, for hearing from the Lord so that I might know that I heard from the Lord. Now, in John chapter 10, I will warn you, I broke out Old Faithful. We have not in the digital world for this today. It's my Old Faithful Bible of many years, the one that the Apostle Paul read, the New King James Version. I am a sheep, but I have my own version. So, verse 1, it says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. So Jesus says, you know, to us, we hear this, and we've heard this passage probably a number of times in the past, but the Lord is just refreshing in my heart again, just that he is the good shepherd, and that, you know, he's called us, and he calls us by name. He doesn't call us, "Hey, you sheep, get over here," but he actually calls us by name, and that he knows us. He knows us. That's the whole point of saying he calls us by name, and that in that, you know, he comes in the way he's supposed to. He comes in with permission. You know, when we give our hearts to Jesus and we say, "Yes, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord," we become one of his sheep. And later on in this passage, it says that no one can pluck any of these sheep out of my hand, because my sheep, verse 27, skipping a little bit, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And it's one of those promises I love, is that God says, not only are we his sheep when we say yes, when we enter into that fold, but he says, not only we have a name to him, and it actually says that in heaven that we're going to receive a new name, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but that we're going to receive a new name when we go and meet with him in heaven, but that we know his voice. And so one of the key things about sheep is they know the voice of their shepherd, and they know it from any other voice, and that's something that they learn over time. It doesn't happen immediately, but they learn and they grow in that. I have one last clip for us today, Andrew Miller, and it's just demonstrating this principle with some real live sheep. Not a cartoon.
One more time.
Oh, one.
Maybe if a female does it, it'll work better. The male couldn't do it.
God, this is amazing. One more.
Oh my God.
This scared them.
Yeah, you just that's made good, it Andrew. Go away.
Oh my God.
Was that cool or what?
Oh yeah.
So it's true. The sheep do know the voice of their shepherd. And, you know, it's something that, you know, we know the voice of our good Father. We know the voice of Jesus as we know him. And as we, you know, get in his presence and spend time with him. So he goes on to say in verse 7, he says, Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And I've, in my good faithful here, Strong's number 4053, perissos is the word for abundantly, superabundance, excessive, overflowing, surplus, over and above, more than enough, profuse, extraordinary, above the ordinary, more than sufficient. And I just love that about Jesus. Everything he does is over the top. You know, he really didn't have to come to earth if he didn't want to do it that way. He's God. He could have done what he wanted to. But he had set up the system that made it so he had to humble himself. He chose to do that. And yet he did it, you know, all the way fully to the extreme to being a human and dying on a cross for us. And meanwhile, the thief thinks he's destroying and killing Jesus. He's destroying and killing life, the Savior, the Messiah. And in that destruction, he actually released the greatest life ever known of just bringing all of us being able to be redeemed into his kingdom. And so I love this verse because, you know, and Lawrence was saying we've done a lot of missions overseas and you know, we've seen all around the world and here in Stark County just where the thief tries to come and steal and kill and destroy. But I stand before you today just to say that I have seen time and time and time again, and I know you have too, where the Lord comes in and he trumps it. When it looks the worst, when it looks impossible, he just trumps that. He trumps it, he trumps it, he trumps it, which if you don't play cards, that means he overcomes that, he supersedes that, he brings the winning card to the table, he brings the winning hand to the table. When it looks like it's all is lost, he comes in and he brings salvation, he brings freedom. And that doesn't mean that every time we see that person healed that we want to see healed, that doesn't mean every time, but Jesus is the victor every time his kingdom reigns and he always wins and he brings that abundant. We ask so many times for a little thing, and he does so much more. I've seen that in my life a lot of times. You know, and hearing his voice, as you know, just thinking through some of the different times I've heard the voice of the Lord, and some have been more dramatic, and some have been more like this, where I've like said, John 10. It was just kind of came to my heart and my mind, and I know John 10. I've studied John 10. I've read John 10 for decades. But just hearing that and saying, okay, Lord, well, what do you want to say with that? What do you want to do? I really don't know what you want, and it's been kind of busy, you know, for, it's like a week of busyness here. And, you know, that he just wants us to know that we can hear his voice, and in that, there's a security and a peace in that, and that even if we go to make a step and it's not the right one, because if our heart is for him and we're desiring his presence, even as we're stepping, Pastor Bill's talked about this over the years, you take that step and Holy Spirit's big enough, he'll just kind of shift us right into that place we need to fall. So about 4 years, well, no, I guess it was 2009, I was doing surgeries. I'm a veterinarian, if you don't know that. I was doing surgeries at the clinic I was in, and they happened to put newspapers on the surgery tables just to kind of catch anything that leaks out or whatever. And newspapers are actually very bacteriostatic. So that's good to know. And so I open up this newspaper while I'm waiting for the next patient to fall asleep, and I see this article about a vet clinic opening up in North Canton. And I knew the veterinarian and generally, and Lord had used me in his life, but I read through that article, and I get about halfway down through reading about him opening up this clinic, and I just clear as day just heard the Lord say, you're going to own that clinic. I was like, what's that? Okay, I was about to do surgery. I've been here 7-8 years in this practice, and you know, I'm like, okay. So I told my wife and a couple other people and just said, hey, pray about it, see what happens. 2009. 2010 or so comes and goes, and I feel like the Lord's put this in my heart, and in 2010, let me see if I had that right. Yeah, 2011, you know, I'm driving through Belden Village here, and I just out of the blue, we're about to go to Mozambique in a couple days. I'm busy. It's my day off. I'm trying to get errands done and all that stuff. And I just feel like the Lord says, go see the veterinarian. Go to his clinic. And I've never been there. It's been 2 years since the Lord said I was going to own it, and I've never been there. And I just called him up and said, hey, I'm in the area, sort of. And I was wondering if I could drop by. And he said, sure, come on over. And so I got a mini tour and talked with his wife and him and just what God was doing there and just how what a big blessing it was. And they were just so excited about what God was doing there. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. It was great. Prayed with them and everything and just went off to Mozambique. And when I got back from Mozambique, the day I got back, I found out that unfortunately the doctor had passed away in a motorcycle accident. And, you know, he knows Jesus. He's in heaven. That's all good. And his wife told me testimony after testimony about how God provided so that actually their business didn't go under right then. Literally 2 days before he went on this trip to Montana, he drug her to the lawyers and signed everything into a trust, put it all together. And he just had never done that. They'd been married for years and years, and it was just out there. And it would have really actually forced the clinic to shut down until it got through court and this and that and would have been a big mess. And all these other things that God provided even for them in this time of loss. But I was able to help out a couple times there, and then she just really said, I didn't say anything, but she said, I'm going to just keep on. You know, we started this, I feel the Lord led it, so we're going to keep on. And I said, that's great. And I said, well, Lord, maybe I didn't hear you quite right on this. Is maybe it's over time, maybe it's not now, maybe it's whatever. And I just kept on working. And the Lord put it in my heart, though, to kind of start looking, because I felt like he was saying it's time to buy a clinic, time to move on. And it actually opened up some other doors to some different things that I'm even now searching into of possibly expanding and opening a second practice because of this season of checking to see, Lord, well, did you mean this clinic or did you mean a clinic? Kind of searching that out with the Lord. And so a year after he passed away, I'm about to go to Mozambique again with Frontline. And I get a call from the veterinarian's wife, who's been running the clinic. And I'd even heard the winter before, the Lord had, or I had heard from some people were offering to buy the clinic from her. And it's like, Lord, should I contact her and say, hey, do you want to sell it to me? Are you really going to sell? If you ever do, just let me know. And then Holy Spirit spoke through my wife, which he often does. There's my lovely wife. Spoke and said, if the Lord's going to do this, let the Lord do this. You know, this is his thing. He spoke it to you. Let's just see what he does. So I didn't say anything, even though I wanted to. And it's like, okay, you're right, honey. We can't lose it. If it's you, Lord, we can't lose it. They're stuck. And if it's not you, that's fine, because I know you're speaking something here about, clinic and ownership and stuff. So then, 6 months later, I get a call as I'm about to go to Africa saying, hey, I want to sell my clinic and I want to sell it to you. And I've never said a word to her about it, never offered anything. I hadn't even seen her in almost a year. And so I said, yeah, I'll pray about that. Thanks for that thinking of me, and I'll get back to you in a couple of days. And just wanted to take it before the Lord one more time, even though I felt like he'd told me it 3 years before that, 4 years before that, well, three. It took about a year to go through this process of buying the clinic because of various reasons. It took a lot longer, but it actually worked out perfectly. I was signing documents as I was in Mozambique the next year. Literally, we're, setting up for crusade, and there's this plastic table, and I've got a laptop and a USB modem jump drive and a printer, and I'm printing off documents and signing them in Africa and scanning them and sending them back to the U.S. to buy this clinic so that 2 weeks after I get back from Mozambique, we moved in, and it was our clinic. So on the day that we purchased it, I told the owner the story of what God had spoken to me in that process, and she, shared some of her process in that. But, whether it's those kind of big things in life, like stepping out on a whole new business adventure, or, just stepping out with family members and things, God speaks to us, and then as we, grow in him, we get to kind of start funneling, how do you tune in that radio a little bit better? How do you get that so that you can hear a little more clearly? And that's just walking with him, and it's sometimes taking that step, and you didn't listen to Holy Spirit, and you went off this way, and he lovingly brings you back and says, I love you, here's my voice, I love you, you can still hear from me, but you didn't that time. And so that's good. And, and sometimes it's my wife coming and saying, honey, I don't think that was the Lord, maybe. And I'm like, are you sure? I prayed, Lord, honey, and okay, and she's right. And, you know, so it's as we walk it out with other people, spouses, friends, you know, people the Lord's put in your life to kind of speak and bring, you know, clarity of vision and, you know, and, pastors and spiritual leaders, things like that. You know, God uses all that to come together. And so, you know, we need to, as sheep, as good sheep, you know, we need to have our good shepherd, which is Jesus. He's the good shepherd and the overseer of our souls, as it says in 1 Peter 2:25, where he says, "For we were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." We often like to get off on our own path, but he's so faithful. He's always faithful. You know, even when we stumble along the way and we kind of feel like, whoa, we're on that roller coaster of maybe emotions of, whoa, what's going on? But I believe that what God's been doing in each of us and wants to do in us is he wants to, as our faith is on the rock, is on that foundation of who he is and what he's been speaking to us, that builds a foundation of his prophetic word, his word of life for our life, the vision for our life that he has in there. He just puts that in so it's kind of solid and sure. So there doesn't have to be this, oh my gosh, I'm, you know, one day I'm going to be, you know, an emergency doctor, and the next day I'm going to be, you know, a zoo worker in Akron. And, you know, it's whatever it may be, it's not that we're going to just have these huge fluctuations of day-to-day switching and changing and confused, and that's not our good Father. You know, he wants us to hear his voice and know what he's saying. And a lot of that comes out of just spending that time with him. And that's something we've been hearing a lot about these, you know, well, all year, as the pastors have been preaching, is, you know, spend time with him. Get in the word. Be in his presence. Be in relationship with people. Be open before the Lord. Be open and kind of put things out there. So even this dream of the clinic and what I felt God was speaking, I put that out to people that have the freedom to speak into my life and to breathe life in it and be able to say, hey, hold on a second here, just wait a second, wait on his timing. You know, you want his timing, not you pushing it, trying to make it happen, which I would love to make things happen a lot quicker often. And so that we can, you know, through the word of God, through soaking, basically just, you know, listening to him, just waiting on him, resting and waiting on him. It's a little bit harder right now with four young kids and the dog. But you know, just getting those quiet times, like even this morning, I just grabbed Levi and I woke up first, and we just went down and sat by the Christmas tree, and I just kind of sat there before the Lord and said, Lord, what do you want to bring me more clarity? What do you want to do here? The Christmas tree is beautiful. Not really, because the dog tore off half the lights, and the ornaments are all on the top half of the tree, and there's a couple ornaments that are now missing, and my dog thankfully has not needed emergency surgery from me. Yet, we've avoided it now at least three times that we know of. Thank God for peroxide. So if you ever have a vomiting dog situation or a dog that eats things it shouldn't, peroxide is a cure many times. But bless my wife and Shannon who gave it because I was at work and I couldn't. So veterinarian, I'm not home for my own pet, but I knew what to tell her to do. So anyways, just going back to where I was at, I was peacefully at the tree just saying, Lord, what are you saying? And that's where, you know, he likes to speak through that still, small voice. He likes to speak through just the fellowship of his word. I was going through and doing searches and just letting just all sorts of scriptures that are familiar but just kind of wash over me fresh and new. And just that's just kind of kept bringing more and more clarity to what he wanted to say. And then Josh has Shepherd for a song, so I know I've got to be somewhat good. But, you know, the other thing about sheep in the kingdom is that we are called to be sheep. We are called to follow him. We are called to follow the good shepherd. We are called to follow spiritual leaders and stuff the Lord puts in our life to walk along the path with us. We're called to do that. It's in the word, you know, the elders as they refer to it in scripture. But also, we're called to be shepherds. And that's going to look different for each of us. That's going to, you know, there's going to be varying levels of that. That doesn't mean necessarily we're going to be pastoring a church, which is something I bless all those pastoral people who are going to be pastoring churches with. I like going to the nations. You know, it's that where we're at, we're shepherding. You know, I am shepherding my children. I am shepherding my dog, not so well lately. But, you know, I'm shepherding them. I'm guiding them. I'm trying to, you know, Isaac is, my six-year-old is asked, he's totally in question mode right now. He's asking about everything. The other day I had to explain to him, I love Christian schools. They have these wonderful verses to memorize, But why do they have to put words like grave in it? You know, it's just like, get to, you know, I will rejoice because he'll lift me out of the grave. Dad, what's the grave? Dang it. Well, it's a place that you go when you're gone. And he's like, well, how do you get there? Well, you know, when someone passes away, like great-grandmother did, and then they put them in a special box for burying them, and then they put them in the ground, and are you still alive when you're in the box? No, son, you're not still alive. You know, you're already gone. You're in heaven. You know, if you know Jesus, you know, I know Jesus. When I go, I'm gonna be in heaven. Thankfully, it wasn't the 5-year-old because he's kind of wigged out about death right now. Isaac's just curious, and he's like, oh, what is it? So last night we were trying to figure out who Satan is and why Satan, you know, wanted to be God. And you just never know how you can explain these things. And Jesus, help me shepherd them. I don't know what to say. I can give a wonderful example, but I don't think he'd catch it. So help me to make it make sense. But he asks really good questions that makes me think, just the simplicity of it. But anyways, we're all called to be shepherds. And so, you know, that's, you know, for our children, that's for our friend, you know, in our friendships and relationships, there's that aspect of if I'm following the good shepherd, you know, and I'm on that path, and then there is a good aspect of we're congregating, we're coming in corporately like the body says, you know, we're connecting corporately like the body says. And so it's healthy when there's a shepherd with the sheep and the shepherd's leading them down the path, not off the cliff. That's a good thing, you know, for the sheep to be together. And yet in that, we all have a specific calling and a specific vision and leading. And I found it interesting that all the, you know, as I've, you know, really said, Lord, what's your vision in my life? You know, what is that you're speaking? And what's the vision in the people that you've connected me to in the vision of, like, this house? It's funny, where I kind of serve that vision, I have found that my vision actually expands because my vision was too small. And when I'm with people who've walked down the path a little bit more, my vision gets a lot bigger. My ability to see and, you know, dream gets even bigger. So that's a fun thing. But Jesus, you know, he says in Matthew 9:35-38, he says that he went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. I think almost every time I preach, this verse makes it in there somewhere, because it's not just a thing of getting, you know, laying before the Lord and here I am, but it's there's always a sending out, there's always a commissioning, there's always a call to, I think even Facebook has, it's like call to activate or something. You know, start and activate, you know, activate something now on my Facebook business page. Call to action, that's what it is. But, you know, there's a call to action where, you know, it starts with the fact that Jesus saw the people. You know, he actually saw the people around him. He saw the people that were there. And it says that he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered. And I think the Lord in this season is giving us even a deeper revelation of that, of having his heart of compassion, having eyes to see, where people are hurting. You know, and letting people, you know, where we're hurting, let people come in and minister to those areas and get healed up. We recently finished up an amazing class that Cynthia Liptak, Lawrence's wife, taught called, you know, Freedom Class. And it was an amazing time. And my wife just took a picture at the end. They had kind of like this banqueting table, and it was amazing. And there was just this feast for them with the Lord. And many of them have been fasting. And there's this banqueting table, I don't think with food on it, but with just an opportunity to come before the Lord and just drink and eat of the spiritual food that he has and of that nourishment and healing of hearts and minds and stuff. And my wife just sent me a picture, and it was just beautiful. And last week we had a small mini portion of that as we took communion. There was a couple chairs up here. But that aspect of just coming to his banqueting table and there's food for whatever we need, wherever we're at, he's got what we need. And I love that. And that the harvest is plentiful, meaning it's ready. The people are ready. We just need to be there. We're ready for harvest. If we're wherever we're at, and you know, we're ready to move on to increase from where we're at. I feel that's, you know, just part of it. And so I guess, you know, for me, some of this, I tend to fly through these passages. I should probably at least finish it. Verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. Verse 13, the hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. And that goes into a whole prophetic thing there. It's really good. But he says he's the good shepherd. This is the, like, three, in this passage has three of the I am. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And I think he has, and one more here. I thought I had it underlined. But these statements where he declares, this is who I am. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the way in. As he says in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and life. I am the way in. I am the good shepherd. And this whole thing about the hireling, you know, that someone who's paid in my, you know, even in my business, my employees, there are some who have caught the idea of ownership and the fact that they don't own the building, but they own what's happening there. And if something's not done, it doesn't matter if it's 5 o'clock, it's getting done. It doesn't matter if it's 5:15. It doesn't matter if it's 6. It's going to get done if it needs to get done because they have the heart for that. I don't even have to be in the building. And I know that there's, you know, specifically a couple people that it doesn't matter what it is. It will not be left undone. I don't have to think about it. Which is great because I can go to Brazil on a mission trip and know that my clinic will be here when I get back. So it's really great. But, you know, this hireling talk is about someone who doesn't have ownership. They don't take ownership of what they're a part of. And that's such a key thing in the body of Christ, that we take ownership for our part as sheep in the kingdom, as shepherds and shepherds in training. You know, we may have an aspect of it of, like, get people saved. But then there's, you know, how do we disciple? How do we mentor? How do we bring people along into a deeper revelation so they don't just fall off the cliff and, you know, thump da dump bump bump like that sheep in the video kept on going and thankfully walked at the end. It did walk still at the end, so that was good. But how do we do that? You know, how do we have that kind of mentality where there's an ownership about what's taking place? There's an ownership for those who are ministering to the kids during this time. You know, we have the Kingdom Kids thing. You know, those who are teachers, there's an ownership that takes place in that. How do we, you know, step beyond the, I'm serving my time, I got stuck in this committee because I'm dying to myself, and I got to do it because Jesus would do it, and, you know, that I know that's none of our teachers. It's just me occasionally. Well, it has been in the past at times. But I love it because I love imparting into people. I don't care if it's one or two or it's 100. I just love sharing, you know, out of the goodness of the Lord. I love sharing out of the Word of God. I love just sharing out of my life experiences and my adventure with Him because it's fun. And there's some parts that aren't fun, but it's still fun because in the end, He wins and He won and He's winning. So it's fun with that. But, you know, where there's people that are just sowing into my kids right now, and I love that they're sowing in, they're investing, they're pouring of their life, and at the same time, my kids are investing in them. And a lot of those teachers don't know that, but they are learning a lot from my kids because they're asking questions. And those JK kids, they're asking questions, and those Lip Tech kids, and those Calderhead kids, and all these other kids, they're stirring up, you know, questions, and they're stirring up opportunities to grow in patience sometimes. My dog is stirring up opportunities to grow in patience sometimes. I just think if you tell him to stay off the chair like 20 times, he should get it, right? No. I love my dog. I do. We sit down. We cuddle. It's fun. But, man, sometimes. So the hireling doesn't get it, but the good shepherd does. And the good shepherd is faithful. That's because he has the compassion. He has the vision. He has the eyes to see it. You know, it says, the hireling, when there's trouble, the hireling just runs. When it's going south, they just shut down and, like, get me out of here. Versus Jesus says he's the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You know, we're giving our lives to the kingdom. We're giving our lives to Jesus, you know, for the people God puts us with, to our families, our friendships, our relationships. We're giving of our lives. We're giving of ourselves. That's That's being like Jesus. And where we're not, we're giving an opportunity to do that even more. He says he knows his sheep and I'm known by my own. And I may not, there are things I'm certainly not the most gifted teacher. I'm certainly not the most gifted preacher. I'm certainly not all these lists of things, but I know him and I love him. And it's okay because he's going to move through and he's going to just touch at our hearts. There's always people we can learn from and grow from. There's always ways to increase. It's not about I've all figured it out and Troy's preaching today because he's figured it out. And Troy's preaching today because he got asked to and he's said yes. And that was it. But it was fun because I look forward to these opportunities and I dread these opportunities because I'm like, Lord, what are you going to say? I have nothing. What do you want to say? But he's always pouring that out. And he says that he has sheep that are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And that's part of the commissioning for us. There are sheep that are not in this fold of the body of Christ at large here in Stark County, all the different churches. There are people that are not in those places of worship that need to be. And that's our heart and the heart of many of our sisters and brothers and all these churches. The heart of those who have captured this idea, the Good Shepherd, captured the idea they're not hirelings, the ones that love Jesus, they want to, we're all part of this great commission, this bringing in, this shepherding and having that compassion to see, man, they're lost. They're lost. They just need a Savior. And I can help. I'm not perfect, but I can help. I can do something. That aspect of laying down our lives is such a key thing. So I guess kind of tying up, a lot of what I want to say here is just that this is it's a new year. We're at the end of one year. We're coming into a new year. It's a new season. There's been a lot of amazing things in this body that we've seen breakthrough in this year. And we've talked about some of this. And there's a lot more coming. And I just want to throw out some vision on that, of things that have happened and things that are coming and just ways we can step in and keep partnering is, Lauren said about the land that the chief gave us. And you may not know the whole history, but we've lost the land like 3 times. It's a miracle we've had the land. I mean, it's in Africa, it's not like, okay, you own this land, it's yours. And then they say, okay, no one else can take it. They'll just come start building on your land, and they will just take your land. And then you go to the chief, and the chief says, oh, I don't know, you should have built on it quicker or something. I mean, they're just like, well, you got to get the paperwork. Well, the paperwork just takes forever, and then every time we get close, someone dies. And then you got to start the paperwork all over again because it's just random papers throughout a chief's hacienda of sorts. So this is just amazing, even getting this piece of land. And each time, generally speaking, our first piece of land, actually, I think we saw it in the dry season. It's not so good in the wet season, like boggy land and not so good. So someone stole that. It was wonderful. Thank you, Lord. And so they stole it, and we got a different piece of land, upgrade. So then someone stole that piece of land, too, kind of a bummer, and in the midst of things. And, they're like, the police come in, and they move them out. I mean, these people come in at night, and they start building at night. And they just start, they put up blocks, and they start making a house. If you get far enough, you can't get them off your land. And so they just come in at night, and they just build suddenly. And that's why you have watching people around the land that you pay to keep in it, just give Pastor Samuel a call if someone starts touching our land. And they just come at night. I mean, the person sleeps, and they wake up, and there's a house there. Not quite, but it's close to that. So, there's this land. So then we got this other land that was good, but whatever. And then finally, this final land, it's big, it's wide, it's open, and thank you for, sowing into that, and we're going to put a wall on it and start building on it and see what the Lord does there. This land, just miracle we've gotten that. Land we have in Mozambique, miracle of that. Worship CD, this amazing new worship CD that's released. If you don't have a copy, there's some for sale in the lobby. Of just their 11 original songs from this body and the worship leaders in this body. It's amazing. And it's really good. I play it all the time. I am, at least the first 1,000 people on Spotify that play it. For New Year's Eve coming up this week, Heather Clark from Jesus Culture, a Jesus Culture feature artist, is coming in. And just her heart, she's coming in with another lady to minister to us, to bring impartation on just worship and stepping in even beyond. And then also just having a time of worship, bringing in the new year. I'm excited about that. I'm looking forward to that because I what it releases for our body in this region and just that opportunity to just partner in and go deeper. It's just fun what God's doing. And then coming up in the new year, Redemption for Life is just really ramping up. And we've got the Freedom Cry Conference coming on the 16th to work to end human trafficking and work in this area. I mean, it's crazy. We took forever to send out the flyer because people kept jumping on board saying, I want to be in this. They kept signing up. The police chief of Canton is now coming and going to be sharing at this. And I think an FBI representative and this person who's a survivor of trafficking. And it's just kind of fun, where we did an event like this 3 years ago, and it was really amazing what God did, and it was a start. And this is just like biggie-sized. And God bless my wife and Pastor Mary Pat and Michelle and the others who've really been putting that together, along with whoever else is. It's biggie-sized. So look forward to that. Put it on your calendar. January 16th is going to be great. Missions, we're going. We just got back from Ghana, West Africa. We've got a team going to Brazil next month. We've got teams going to Asia, to India and Indonesia, Singapore. They're working. And just a lot going on. And I just feel that it's kind of moving into in another new level of just increase and stepping in. And a lot of that's just us coming and linking arms, too, as we have been. And stepping in both as sheep and as shepherds, stepping in to take ownership and not be hirelings, but to keep taking ownership. And this is a body, we have a very active body. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, so I'm just kind of, this is just the extra little shot in the armor. Let's just keep going on with it. And actually, Josh, do you mind coming up? If you wouldn't mind doing that shepherd song again, I just thought it was really, really good. But I want to declare some things over you as Josh, leads in this with anyone who happens to join him or by himself. However that works. Sorry for whoever's music I took. Just want to make some declarations over you and over myself. This is really in this season, this time of stepping in. And so just to reiterate, we're his sheep. He's speaking to us. He knows us by name. We can hear his voice. And excitingly enough, we can hear his voice better and better. We can tune in more and more. We can hear and receive what he's saying. And then what that does, it's not just about, I heard the voice of God. He said, go, happy butterflies and daisies for everyone. Let's go dance with him. That is all worship. It's all warfare. It's all working together. It's all releasing life. It's all releasing encouragement. And it's that place of seeing that releases just the encouragement we need. I had one other thing there on that. Where did it go? I lost it. But just, stepping in and capturing that and stepping into that to release those words of life and blessing. And so I believe this is a time God's going to minister to our heart and just strengthen and solidify some of that. And again, like I was saying, that just as Jesus, as we spend time with him, he becomes that rock that he says he is. We're building our house on the rock, not on the sand. And so if there's areas of your life that you feel like you've been building on the sand or they feel like they just keep collapsing or falling down, I'm just giving a call today that today we can, allow him to build that more and more on the rock, and receive from the word and receive just from his spirit and from others, just speaking life into us. And that's going to then equip us and enable us to be the leaders, be the shepherds, be the sheep that are staying in the pack where there's safety, but also drawing in and going after the lost ones, because that's part of what shepherds do. As we stay, in connection with Jesus, who's our good shepherd and the overseer of our souls, I love being a sheep. I love being a shepherd, and I'm loving life. I'm loving what he's doing more and more. And that what I've learned, and I just was recently talking with some people about this whole idea of being, founded on him as the rock, is that because I've been hearing his voice and I know his voice and I'm growing in that, but because of where I'm so far, that I don't get shimmied off of like, should I be a veterinarian anymore? I know he wants me to be one. I know it's not as often as most veterinarians are one, because there's other visions that he's given me. That's my alarm, so I don't preach forever. Sweet. I am horrible at looking at time. Some poor individual is at my house. We were having a good time of fellowship, and next thing I know, it's like 2 a.m. I said, I'm so sorry. I had no idea. I didn't. I really didn't. No clue. And until the next morning. Then I knew. My wife's always like, there's a clock right in front of you. Why can't you see it? It's right there, honey. Why are you still talking to me? I was like, if you just told me it was like after 1, I would have said, okay, let's go to bed. What's that? Yeah, I'm a veterinarian. So I know that I'm called to love on people. I know that I'm called to share the gospel. We're all called to do that. And in my faith, as I approach decisions, a lot of them come out of just who I know he is and the words he's given to me. So when there's an opportunity for me with the calling on my life, things God's spoken, there's opportunities to go on a mission trip, I'm taking that to the Lord. I want to hear from the Lord, but I know that's in my life. So it's not a matter of, am I going? It's a matter of where am I going and which trips am I going? So I'm not in this huge crisis every time of, oh my gosh, this is like the end of my life if I go away for 3 weeks. And, what's going to happen? And, how's he going to take care of the clinic? I mean, I am foolish in some of that stuff because I know my God. And so I foolishly, in my first year of owning the clinic, left for 8 weeks out of the country. And it was wonderful for me and for them over time. We've learned how to get better at that, so it's even better for them. But I trust him. I know if he's told me to go somewhere, I'm going to go. And that's just something that, I don't know if it's coming across what I'm trying to say, but there's just this place in Christ that we don't have to agonize over all these little decisions because we know what he's put in our heart. Like, we don't have, they are little. There's a lot of little decisions. There's a lot of things that they seem big to us, but when we look and say, Lord, what are you doing in my life? What's the tone of your heart for my life? You've gifted me in this area, and there's this opportunity to step in, and I have the time and the ability. Lord, you want me to do this? More than likely, he showed you it in the first place. Run it by your spouse and your parents and your, whatever, throw it out there. Hey, is there anything I'm not seeing? But man, this seems right up my alley. And this seems just like me. It just seems like who God's made me, the giftings, the things that turn me on, that charge me up, that spiritually just get me going. I love sharing Jesus with people. I love it, love it, love it. And I just as soon do it one-on-one on a plane, recently. Where did we fly recently? I don't know. I flew to Arizona recently. Lawrence and I, we had amazing conversations. We went to California for a business conference. Amazing conversations. God connected us with people. We got to just love on people in the whole way. I love that. It's just who I am. It's going to come out because that's who I am. And so that stability of who you are in Christ, he wants you to get into that more and more, of that stability, so that we're not shaken by the circumstances of the day. We're not shaken by my kids wigging out and he just threw up all over me and, and so-and-so's having a bad day in my life and this person and someone left all the dishes in the sink and I just hate that and, all these things, what, Lord, should I go worship you tonight or do you want me to stay home? It's been a rough day and there's this movie on Netflix I've been wanting to watch it's really good. It's about a mouse who builds a house, and I'm sure there's something prophetic about it. Would there be any benefit, Lord, to me going and worshiping? It's been a rough day, Lord. I need to rest. There's no rest like his presence. There's no rest like being in his presence, being with him. There's just no place like that. Those things of, and I've missed or taken off, we've been out, we'll miss a Sunday here and there for this or that, or be out of town. There's no like law about it. I'm just saying I want to be in his presence. I want to be with him. I want to worship. I want to be with you guys. You're crazy. You're crazier than me, many of you. I look at you sometimes and I'm like, oh Jesus. Oh, and I need to step up. There's areas. I love that about the body. We bounce off each other. We can encourage each other. And so tap into those relationships here. Tap into those friendships. Tap into that fellowship. Be proactive. And I've had you here forever, but I just love the Lord. And I'm really wrapping up. But I want to declare some things over you. Some of it's, again, things you've heard before, but there's just some declarations that if this is what you want to join into, I think it'll really be a blessing in your life this coming year, a blessing of just setting off this new season, this new year. And so you can stay seated, you can stand up, you can come up front, you can lay down on the ground, I don't really care. But I just want to first, I'm just going to read Psalm 23 over you, just a wonderful, lovely, awesome passage about how good he is as our good shepherd. And then, as we sing, there's another declaration I just want to make the Lord's put in my heart. But so just receive, the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. He makes you to lie down in green pastures. He leads you beside the still waters. He restores your soul. He leads you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil, for God is with you. His rod and his staff, they comfort you. He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He anoints your head with oil. Your cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you, pursue you, take hold of you, run after you, capture you, tackle you all the days of your life. And you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, I just declare that over each person here and myself. Lord, you're our shepherd. We have no want. You're our good shepherd. We have no need. You're there for us. You restore our soul where we feel lost. You make us to lie down in the green pastures because you got plenty of them. And you lead us beside the still waters. You don't lead us somewhere where we can't stay afloat. We get washed away, swept away. You're with us, Lord, even in the valley of the shadow of death. Even when all attacks come against us, you are with us, Lord. So we can fear nothing. For you are greater. You are our good shepherd. You are right there with us. Your rod, your staff, they comfort us. You keep us safe, Lord. You provide for us. You prepare the food we need in every aspect, spiritually, relationally. You prepare a table for us. Even when our enemies are coming against us, even when the lies come against us, even when our own lies, our own things in our own hearts, our own struggles come against us, you've prepared a table that we can just rest before you. We can just eat of that table. And you anoint our head with oil. You bring anointing. You bring power. You bring freshness to us so that our cup isn't just full, Lord, but it runs over. You're over and above. You're an abundant God. You bring abundant life. We agree with that right now this morning. We agree with heaven. We agree with your word. We agree with your truth and your promises, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that because of all of this and because of your goodness, that goodness and mercy shall follow us. Follows us. It's not just, it's because you're in us. We have that goodness and mercy and it follows us. There's a wake of goodness and mercy that follows behind me. There's a wake of it because of who you are in me. That those who are around me are touched by that. I'm not perfect. I do it wrong. I have to apologize. But Lord, I know there's a wake of goodness and mercy and blessing. Sometimes we feel like circumstances are just draining on us and wearing us down. And I have someone who's always saying, man, you're killing me. And the truth, though, is the Lord is bringing life and blessing. And my declaration over that person, over us today, is that no, it's bringing blessing. This is bringing life, Lord. Even in those times of shifting and changing and growth, it brings life. New birth today, Father. And Lord, I thank you that we can dwell, we can live. We can be a habitation for your presence. We are your temple. We are your temple. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the process. So as we get ready to leave here in a few minutes, Josh just finishes with that chorus. We just declare our love for him fresh. And I just want to declare this over you. It's at the end of Hebrews. And Paul here just says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Just take that Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. I'm going to read it one more time. Just soak that in. It's just a commissioning today. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete or perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And as you go and as we finish, you know, and just declare this last part here, feel free to grab someone and just pray for someone. Get prayer if you need prayer. I'd be glad to pray with anyone, but just connect with him today. Connect with him this week and just allow him to wash over you and also bring you into a deeper revelation of his plans and his vision for you. His plans are good. They're to prosper you, not to harm you, to bring a hope and a future. He has good things in store. So, Father, I do just bless every person here, Lord. I just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to hear your word and, Lord, to grow closer to you. We love you, Lord. We are your sheep, and we're so thankful we have a good shepherd, that no one and nothing can snatch us out of your hands. That's your promise, Lord. Thank you. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Love you, Lord.